Started Ayla Terraway, Northwest London. Wednesday, 1st of September, Kaf Hei Elul, Dan Levi Yitzchok Raskin, Sukkah Shivas. This week's Shurim have been sponsored by Lilu Nishmas, Yehuda Menachem Ben, Rab Aaron Yosef Akhern, Zichron Livracha, the late Mr. Alex Halberstadt, Zichron Livracha, a much loved participant and supporter on the 6th Yahrzeit today.
Today is 24th of August.
Kaf Dalet Elul.
Sorry.
Thank you. Good morning. You mentioned about Trumas Hadeshim. What I found remarkable is that there's three zmanim for Trumas Hadeshim, whether it's just before Alos HaShachar, Achatzois, or Sofa Shmoira Rishoina, depending on what the workload was. The Inyan of Trumas Hadeshin, in a way, is today's Avodah, is Kriyas Shema Al Hamito, or Tikkun Chatzos, which is a similar idea, which is, as an expression, when I teach halacha to Talmidim, Talmidos, say before you eat, you should first use the Pesachisah, to get rid of yesterday's Loshna Gemara and Shabbos. You first clear out the rubbish from yesterday, and then you start putting in fresh fuel for the next usage of energy. Trumas Hadeshin is clearing away the rubbish from yesterday before doing the avoida for today. So that's where you have Tikkun Chatzos, or even people can't get up by Chatzos, the Krishma Shalamita. This is the idea of looking back at the past, clearing away the waste from the past, doing tshuva from whatever needs to have a tikkun, and then to continue into the future, Hakvotas Tovas, etc. So I've seen a certain parallel between these avoidas which we have in Krishna Shalamita and Tikkun Chatzos. I once asked my Rosh HaKoilo, why? It's a funny one. I asked him, why in Chabad have we not seen anyone doing Tikkun Chatzos? So he says, if someone in Chabad were doing Tikkun Chatzos, you wouldn't know about it. That was his take on it. Perhaps there were, in previous generations it was done, possibly, but don't see it now. Okay, my plan today was to talk about Sukkah and something very interesting, which is particularly relevant to this part of the world where many of us have got built-in Sukkahs, where we've got building a kitchen extension or something, and we've got these opening roofs, and they come with interesting shayles. So, personally, I have such an extension in the back of my house. And so the room the whole year is the kitchen. And now, there is a concept of Dofen Akumas. I brought with my whiteboard. So we have the idea, you have your wall, and then you have, let's say, there's a ceiling, then there's a gap, and then your schach starts there. And the concept of Dofen Akumo allows you to consider the wall somehow. How does it work? So somehow I understand it is that it's considered as if this ceiling is coming down, and that creates a wall. There's a whole discussion in Rishonim exactly what's the method of the virtual Dofen Akumo. But we're imagining as if the wall is somehow coming down. Now, in this case, I've got my kitchen units over here. Is that big enough, or should I draw it larger? Okay, so now, is my kitchen sink in the sukkah or not? The practical question is the dirty dishes. In the, what we'll perhaps call the eaves of the sukkah, in the Dofen Akumo area, does it have Kedushas HaSukkah? You're not meant to have dirty dishes in the sukkah. So are you allowed to have your dirty dishes in the Dofen Akuma area? It's not clear in Poskim, it's discussed in Poskim. The pile what we are in particular, that we close the sukkah roof, and then we go to the project of what my Malama used to call telavash and television, of washing the dishes and wiping the dishes. So that's to we avoid this shy.
Okay.
Now, here it becomes a much more difficult. This is a simple shayla, which if you answered, you can just close the dach, or what you call it, shlak, and then you can wash your dishes. The shayla is like this. How high are your counters? The average kitchen counter is about 90 centimeters high. Okay. The question is, which is the wall of the sukkah? The indigenous plasterboard wall, or is it the front of your kitchen cabinets? Now, we all know that there's two main schools of how you measure shiurim, Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish, where according to the Chazon Ish, 10 tefachim would be a meter. According to Reb Chaim Noah, 10 tefachim would be 85 centimeters. So, according to Reb Chaim Noah, your kitchen cabinets can serve as a wall for your sukkah. According to Reb Chazon Ish, they're too short. So then, where is the wall of the sukkah? Is the wall of the sukkah over here, or is the wall of the sukkah in front of the cabinets? This is what we have to deal with. My nafkamina. Well, if the walls of the sukkah, of the building are the walls of your sukkah, so then, okay, then you can do a straight doifen akuma. You're still okay. If you're going to say that the front of the cabinets, wait a minute, how does the front of the cabinet connect to? So. The Rav Padva, as well as I'm Homer Fuhr Schleimer, he has an article about this. There's also a journal published in London called Pa'olim LaTorah. And going back a few years ago, they had three very Londonshire articles about this with photographs of these problems. And Rav Padva says, let's say this counter is too short to be a wall of the sukkah. Could you have a 10 tefach, the stretch above the cabinet, if there's no wall cabinets, only floor cabinets, could this, if you've got 10 tefachim over here, higher up, could that count as the walls of the sukkah? So normally, the walls of the sukkah have to be starting from the floor. In other words, if you were to have a wall of the sukkah higher up and the bottom was empty, was open, that wouldn't count, but that's because because animals could run through. It's not called a wall if the animals could run through. Here, you've got a situation where the bottom is safe, but it's not a wall. Yeah. So, well, I'll deal with why the cabinet is not a problem. It is a problem. But so Rav Padva suggests that we should be able to use the tent for him above the counter, that they should be counted as the wall of the sukkah, and then you can do a dofen akum. Yes.
According to the shita that you mentioned earlier, that it's as if the wall has stepped over.
Yeah.
And there's a vertical wall down the edge. That virtual wall is in front of the unit.
Yes. Yes. So this goes into the whole lambdas in Tosfos exactly how it works, because they still use the word akum. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, let's say this solution doesn't work because you've got here an extra cabinet, which is very common. You've got a floor cabinet and then you've got wall cabinets. So then, and then it's aftsalochis, as you say in Bayons. So you have here less than 10 tefachim, less than 10 tefachim, all of them are less than 10 tefachim. So none of those sections of your wall are qualifying as a wall for the sukkah.
Are they not mistarif together?
How are you going to do mistarif? Now, I've got an argument which one of those Ingalite who write in that journal come along is, what's it? I've got here a bookshelf. If they, let's say this was the sukkah in here, would the sforna be the wall of the sukkah, or would it be the back of the shelf be the wall of the sukkah? Why should the sforna be the wall? It's they are items. Now, let's say you've got a cabinet which has got the doors. Who says the doors have to be the sukkah? They have to be the walls. Say, open the doors, the back of the cabinet, and they are walls of the sukkah. Yeah? So that would be a simple way of avoiding this whole shaila. Of saying that if we could consider the backs of the cupboards, or that's the wall of the sukkah. But if you're going to take the view that the front of the cabinet, now let me now go to the next.
Behind the cabinet, there's a wall in any case.
Yes.
Cabinet,
yeah, and that wall can go straight up, so to speak. Then you don't have this whole headache. I'll tell you where the problem is. The problem is that we've got, I just mentioned, the solution of Dofen Akuma. That was Halacha Lemishnah. You see, we have a solution of Dofen Akuma. We have another solution, which is in Hilchos Erevin and used in Hilchos Sukkah, which is Good Asik. Which means that when you have a wall of 10 tefachim, then you could imagine as if the line continues. Now, there is a view of poskim that you cannot do, and this is brought to Mishnah Berurah, that you cannot do two halachas in one stretch. You cannot have a doifun akuma, which is contingent upon a good asik. So let's imagine you have here a sukkah. Forget about that wall over there. We've got a sukkah which got a wall of 10 tefachim. Then there's a gap, and then there's a ceiling. So in order to be able to use doifun akuma, you'd have to have, yeah, that's an answer to your point. You can't do doifun akuma without a physical doifun going down. You were asking whether you could do a doifun akuma, just go straight down here.
That's right.
No, it doesn't work. It has to be...
The guy mentioned that was one of the shittas as to how doifun akuma works.
Well, all right. Well, that's what we were seeing in the Morgan Avraham, etc., in the beginning of Tofer Shlamet Beis, that we have a problem of doing a doifun akuma and a good asik in the same stretch. So this is where I have my question. If you have your kitchen cabinet coming out, and let's say your kitchen cabinet is 10 tefachim. I'll follow the shear of 85 centimeters. So my kitchen cabinet is 10 tefachim, and it's too far. So I'm going to say the front of the cabinet is the wall. But in order to use the doifun akuma, I'm going to have to use a good asik. That again becomes a problem. Now, I'll just tell you, personally, in my own kitchen, which is the sukkah, the kitchen cabinet is basically on the same line as where there's the gap in the ceiling. Be'erich, I don't have to rely on, or let me explain, there's doifun akuma and there's lovet. Up till 3 tefachim, you don't need to use doifun akuma. So if your kitchen cabinet is within 3 tefachim of the line of where the opening is in the ceiling, then you don't have to come onto doifun akuma, and you can do a good asik, and lovet is accepted, that would work. So I hope, perhaps make things more clearer or more confusing.
A box on the counter to raise it up to 10 tefachim.
To put a box on the counter?
Yes, that's an Amazon box.
Yes, and every time my wife wants to prepare some lunch, I'm going to take them. It's bad enough, every time she washes the dishes, I have to go into away from the sukkah. I still have to close the sukkah. That would be mamash with style, Father, and I have to wash the dishes. Okay, now let me share with you another interesting shayla.
You would raise the counter by another 10 centimetres.
But you mean then
it's okay?
Then you'd still be having to be using. Yes, but then if the gap in the ceiling is more than 3 tefachim, then you to go up and across, you're going to have to use two halachas. You're going to have to use good asik and doifun akuma, and that's problematic. Okay. Now, it's not unanimous. No, there are poskim who do allow it. It's controversial. Okay. Now, I once had the following shaila, a fellow Shemhain Tefelim Emes. He lived in a block of flats. He lived on the upper floor, and he had a balcony. He had a balcony, and this is the wall of the house. The balcony was, let's say, about a meter wide. There was the roof, the gutter jutting out, and so he did not have a clearance of 7 tefachim on where he would be sitting. So this was his problem. Could we build a sukkah over here? Was there somehow he could sit there, but it's too narrow to have your 7 tefachim width. So we came up with an idea of, here's the railing, to make a shelf above the railing, and then to put this schach over here. So what that would mean is, on floor level, it's not 7 tefachim wide, but above this level, where, in other words, above the railing, it would have 7 tefachim wide. So basically, what's happening is, you've got a kosher sukkah up here, and then you've got a hole, you've got a niche. Under the kosher sukkah, you've got a hole, which is, the hole itself is not big enough. Is that kosher or not? So, this question is brought in the Shaarei Teshuvah, which is the top on the margin of the Mishneh Berurah. It mentions, it brings this from the Dvar Shmuel, Reb Shmuel Abu Hab, who lived in Amsterdam about 400 years ago, perhaps a bit earlier. And he says, you know what? Looking at this tziur, he says, you know what? What I could do is, if this is 10 tefachim, theoretically I could build a shelf here. I could build a strong shelf from the railing to the wall, and this would be a kosher sukkah. It's above 10 tefachim clearance, so you could be sitting there and you'd be sitting in a kosher sukkah. So now that you don't have the shelf, so still okay. Is sitting in a kosher sukkah. Again, you missed that, huh? He says, theoretically, you could build a shelf.
Yes.
And this fellow could be sitting over here on the shelf, and it would be sitting in a kosher sukkah. Mm-hmm. The fact that there's no shelf and he's sitting over here, that's okay. He's not very confident about it, but he says it's okay.
So in the previous cases, you could have a theory.
The balcony railing, how high is it?
10 12.
So therefore,
it doesn't matter.
So therefore, you would say gudasik, and therefore you're short at the top, even if you.
No. Very good. Because gudasik, you don't use lukulam, not lukhumra.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Like you don't. In omer lavad lukhumra. You don't. These things are to facilitate, not to obstruct. Yeah. All right. So now he says that would be kosher, but he's not very happy about it. Now. We all know that. All right. So there's the Gemara in Sukkah. Where's our Daf Yomi for now? Learning. Yeah, in the middle of Sukkah. Now, if you remember the beginning, the earlier Dapim, if you still, there's the story of Maizel Beheleni Hamalko, and talks about the Kitonos. So you have these. A large Sukkah, let's say, and then there are these niches. And these are kitonos apek suchos letraklin. What happens if you have a niche off the sukkah, and that niche is only 6 tefachim wide? So, Reb Mordechai Avraham says it's not okay. Because the person sitting in here is sitting in an area which is pochus mi shia sukkah. It's not sitting comfortably. If that is a problem, in other words, if a horizontal niche is going to be a problem because you're not sitting comfortably in the sukkah. How could a vertical niche be any better? It's much more uncomfortable to be in this niche over here than then to be in that niche in this tzir. So if the Mogen Avraham has a problem with sitting in a horizontal niche, how much more so there should be a problem with the vertical.
And the balcony, you've got the size. Yep. The problem in the niche there and
oh, because you make
David got the science there.
The answer you're saying because he's got under the
science,
gutter.
Got yeah, science.
Got science and
where? At the bottom.
The upper half.
The upper half, but he's not sitting there. He's sitting down here.
So you're sitting in the same as the niche, you're saying the same as the six person.
Yeah. The only thing is that physically that there's the area under the gutter, which is where he has breathing space. But that's not circular. That's also an issue. Under four tefachim, the gutter is a schach posel, you might be able to sit under the gutter. But if that becomes a whole parasha. On a large sukkah, schach posel up till four tefachim is a kosher and ledrov poski, you can sit under it. But the schach and with the sukkah ktano, the schach posel it does become a problem. So. Because it's a sukkah ketanah, we couldn't allow to sit under the gutter. Complicated stuff.
Even the modern sukkah, some of them have got a beam in the middle for the two halves.
Yes.
And that's less.
Yeah, la lochi you have to sit under it.
Well, unless it's four tefachim
on the balcony of the
sukkah, that's a very valid point. So you're saying that there's room to even according to Mogen Avraham, he might be tolerant of this. I'm going to finish off with something which is should be published in the Tribune this coming week about more agoda. I've been learning the sugya. It's more in Erevin and in Ksubas about Adam and Chava, the way Adam was created. So there's one mahalach in the Gemara that Adam and Chava were created back to back, and so the word is the Vayikach Hashem Elokim Esad Tzela. And why is it in the Tribune for this coming week? Because Adam Arishon was created on Rosh Hashanah. So Hayom Chilas Maasecha refers to Adam Arishon. I was able to persuade the editor to put it in for Rosh Hashanah. So now. So Adam says it says the pasuk Vayikach Hashem Elokim Esad Tzela. So there's one svara that tzela means a side, like that, called tzela hamishka. And Adam and Chava were connected back to back. Two faces, doi partsufim. Now, I like to try to remember, how does it come into Gemara Erevin? How does this story come into Gemara Erevin? I think it's at the beginning of Perek Beis, or Perek Gimel. It talks there, about Dioimdin. This duo panel, which is before the Pase Beroes. So once it's talking about Dioimdin, then it talks about Doi Pratzufim. That's how you can remember where it is in the Gemara. Okay, so the Odomer and Bachavad, you get Doi Pratzufim. And then Hashem separates them and they are able to come one to back upon him upon. There's another Shitta which says no. That the tzela was kemin zonov, and then Hashem takes it and develops it and makes it into a person with all the chushim, etc. The Gemara then asks Lamanda Omar, that is doi partzufim, hey mahalach bereish, hey mazgi bereish. Who would drive forward? Who would drive back? Who is walking backwards? They said, Mistava, that it would be the Gever, the man would be the guy, the Odom rather than the Chava would be taking the forwards.
So it's a backseat driver.
So now, these are L'chayre in Yonim, Yosoidi in Beyoise, very, very fundamental in Yonim. They are talking about us, the way we were created, and if all of the rest of creation, the Eberster created Zchorim and Akevus and L'chayr Rabim. Just learned yesterday the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, V'lom and Nivra Ha'odam Yechidi. That means not yichidi, man and wife. Sorry. The question is other species, cows. Who says the Eibishter created only one cow, one bull and one cow? No. The Eibishter created several cows. But by Odom Yechidi, and the Mishnah says the reason for that. But why was it created, why was Odom created in two phases? Why was it necessary? Why didn't the Eibishter just create Odom and Chavo as they were to be? So, so it's not a question of history, it's a question what it comes to, what it tells us. So now, if you take the view that Odom and Chava are doi partzufin, that means that there's a built-in pull to two opposite directions. Mitchilas b'riyosoi, man and woman, are created, this one is looking Ruchnius, this was looking Gashmius. This is looking, they're pulled in polar opposite directions. That's one way of looking at it. And then afterwards that they come together, but they've already got kind of psychologically a pull in two opposite directions. Masha'ein Cain, if you take the view that, and the Gemara says, this is the Gemara says in, I think it's Eiruvin Ksubas, says, no. That they were created, it says, Zochor Akeva Bor Oysam. No, that's B'machshova. B'maseh, they were created as one body. B'machshova, they were created as two bodies. So then we'll say the following. On the level of Machshova, Odom and Chavo are both separate people. B'gashmius, they are brought into one, and then Hashem separates them. The Yalshich asks the question, why did the Eibishter make it this way, that they are brought as one, created as one body, they separate them? And he says the Eibishter wanted that a man should be attracted to a woman and a woman should be attracted to a man. If they had been created l'chatchila as separate beings, they would necessarily be a dafasam. I could just live my own life as a yochid. I don't need to get married at all. So the Eibishter created it this way, that they are created as one body, but, yeah, and then he separates them. But the idea that you want to be one body, it's the other shitta, now, which I said, I saw a slight grimace somewhere, Kamin Zonov. And what does, and a woman might, and you know, you have to be very careful where you speak about these things nowadays, yeah? I must say, even my own house, I'll be careful. Kaminzon. Now, what is the function of a tail of an animal? Apparently, not from personal experience, that a tail helps balance. When the animal is, when the animal is moving, the tail helps it to balance, in addition to swishing away flies. And this is, now, if you take that view, that Eibishter created Adam and Chava, the issue is the counterbalance. And this is the Eish Kenegdoi. So we are created, and so this actually changes the view. Instead of saying that we are pulled in opposite directions, actually, B'machshoveh, man and woman, were both created to look in the right direction. The Eibishter created that one is a counterbalance for the other. Sometimes you may go a bit too extreme, and the Eibishter there, so then you have, you can't, just, you know, take it easy. Don't do too extreme in whichever direction which you might be going. Now, this we have in the Sheva Brachos, which we say twice. The first brach is... Now the first bracha is Shachol Baruch Hu Vayinu Kenegad Am. Second bracha is Yetzer Adam. Then Ashevoro Ela Asa Adam B'Tzalmoi Asheyotz Asa Adam B'Tzalmoi. Yeah. Now the chayr is a bit schwer. The brachas are based upon psukim, and it says in the pasuk. Why does the posuk say asher yot, why does the brocha say asher yotzar esodim? Why does it change from boro of the loshna posuk to yotzar? So the Ramban in the beginning of Bereishis talks about the different levels of brio, yitziro, asio. Brio is like tchilas habriya. It's just the very crude origins of brio. Yitziro is formation, and then you've got asiya, which is the finished product. So the Chazal, when they made that Bebatei HaBrocha, they changed it from Boro to Yotzar. Because now we're not talking about the first stage. We're talking about that. We already said there's been the Odom. You have this Loshna. Asher Yotzar is Odom B'tzal. B'tzal and Musa. V'hiskin lo'i mimenu. Asher Yotzar, the Ebrish is creating the Odom in a way that he has doi partsufim, and then v'hiskin loy mimenu binyan adayad, and then he separated chavo in a way that they should be able to come together. And so, so the message of all of this is that the Ebrish had a very, very specific plan in the way that we are created, and the idea that Odom Baal v'ishtoi are there, each one is a separate neshama. The lashon the Zohar is plag gufa. But they are two neshamas which are coming together to strive together to reach to a common goal, which is Avedas Hashem, and each one helps the other. And with this, I'd like to wish you all a ksiva chsima tova, l'shana tova musaf.
Amen. Amen.